Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Trevor, thank you very much indeed for that. Afghanistan's Taliban rulers have today issued a ban on women's voices and bare faces in public under new laws to combat immoral behaviour, they say, and promote virtue. 3 years ago, in August 2021, the world watched on as people tried to flee Afghanistan as the Taliban swept into the capital, Kabul. After regrouping in the years after being driven out by the US-led invasion that followed the September 11th attacks and emboldened by the agreed withdrawal of the remaining US forces, the Taliban deposed the elected government there. But while thousands managed to get out, some had been trying to get into the country, including Ibrahim Nashat, an Egyptian journalist and filmmaker. Ibrahim's film, called Hollywood Gate, is a fly-on-the-wall examination of the inner workings of the Taliban, and he joins me now to discuss this remarkable documentary. Ibrahim, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you so much for having me.
And it is remarkable. Can you tell me, first of all, what put it into your head to go into Kabul and Afghanistan when everybody else from the West was trying to get out?
As a journalist, I was aware of the fact that when international forces would withdraw with Afghanistan, also international media would withdraw from Afghanistan, and we wanted to bring the attention of the world to the Afghans at the time when we expected that the world would not be talking about it, which is pretty much what's happening now.
Yeah. How did you get in?
So I relied on 10 years of experience working as a journalist and filming with a lot of world leaders. And I reached the Taliban really early at the time when they were seeking a lot of validation from journalists. And I pitched myself as someone who's filmed with a lot of world leaders, and they seeked validation through me. And that's how I got my initial access.
It was very dangerous, though, Ibrahim. At one point in the documentary, when you're filming the Taliban operatives, and there's a Taliban chief among them, they're asking, "Why is he filming, sir? Have you allowed him to film?" And I think the Taliban chief says, "If his intentions are bad, he'll die soon."
You know, being there and getting the access from the beginning has its own way of making me stay, but seeing the pain that the Afghans are in every single day that I pass in the city and I look at the faces of the people and the fear they have has kept me going all the way. Whatever I have gone through, which might have led me to do therapy and do trauma therapy and all of that, which was, I was privileged and it was my choice to go there, but watching the Afghans who had no choice of being there, either under the power of the Taliban or having the US and the NATO invade their country before that, or even having the Soviet Union invade their country before that, was very painful. And seeing the suffering of the daily suffering of the Afghans makes my suffering nothing compared to them.
Well, that shows your integrity as a journalist and a human being, I suppose. Did you ever feel you were in danger when you were making this film about the Taliban?
I would ask the question the opposite way. Did you ever feel safe? And the answer would be no, because I'm dealing with people who have only seen war, which means they are all suffering from PTSD, which makes them impulsive. So at any second, anyone could take a decision that is unpleasant. And we knew that, but also that applies to every single Afghan.
Were you shocked by what the US left behind, Ibrahim?
I actually expected in the beginning, which was my intention of doing the movie, I was intentionally going to show the world in whose hands this country was left. But the reality on the ground, when I saw these weapons, I was in a huge shock, and I expected that these weapons will never, ever be fixed. But as the time were passing by and they started to begin fixing these things, things started to change completely. And the movie has become more about how Taliban finds the weapons left behind, how they try to fix them, and their plans to what they plan to do with these weapons.
Mm-hmm. You might explain to people who haven't seen the documentary, just briefly, what the, especially in the opening sequence, what they find is a treasure, they say. The Americans left as a treasure. What did they leave behind?
So the American left behind, officially, the Pentagon has announced that they left behind $7.2 billion worth of military equipment, but the numbers on the ground will be much higher, because in the official numbers that they announced, the base where we filmed most of our film, which is why we call the movie Hollywood Gate, because they have one gate there that has the word Hollywood on that, mm-hmm. a Hollywood Gate on that, does not exist. And this raised the number way higher than the actual number that the Pentagon has announced.
My goodness. So it really was a treasure trove for them. What about the subjugation of women? I saw at one point there was one Taliban operative, I think, beating a woman on the street with a stick. Was that common? Did you see that commonly?
You don't see that commonly nowadays because Taliban understands propaganda. Taliban are trying to hide these things from being seen publicly, but we know that they are applying such things. They are using their own ways of suppressing women and forcing things on them. And today we saw the news of them banning the woman's voice, which is remarkable. Weird and ununderstandable. And they claim this is based on religious facts, but we all know that the religious facts that they refer to are more based on their culture, the culture that they are trying to force everybody onto.
Yeah. What were they like face-to-face then? I mean, I don't know if you use the word odd or weird there, but face-to-face, interpersonally, did you have much contact with the Taliban?
Of course, I lived with them for 1 year, mm-hmm. and what you discover living there for 1 year, that they are like a hand. Every single one of them is different when it comes to their own ideology and things. You would find Talibans who listens to music, you would find Talibans who misses prayers, you would find Talibans who are corrupt, you would find them differently than each other. But when it comes to taking actions and following orders, they are all following the ideology of the group, even if they themselves don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I suppose in that context, it's understandable to them, maybe. They're trying to adhere to their ideology, what they think is right, the subjugation, the discrimination. But to any reasonable-minded person, it is completely crazy, the rules they impose on women and other people who don't fit in with their ideology. It was remarkable then that you were allowed. You say they don't want, they're cognizant of PR now, but yet they allowed you to film.
Because as I told you, I've arrived really, really early in the time when they were seeking validation from international media, which they now stopped seeking. Now they have their own propaganda machine going and forcing everything their own way. And the international media, if they transfer what they want to say, they transfer what they want to say. If they come to say something different, they would ban them. And because I was there from the very beginning and I asked for a 1 year permission, I was allowed to find my way to continue staying there. And I always say I've become like Sisyphus, mm-hmm. and the axis is my rock. I need to push it hard and hard and hard to get 3 or 4 more days of shooting. And then they cancel all of my permissions and I need to really go and renew it again. And if I arrived to Afghanistan 10 days later, I don't think I would have ever gotten that access.
You do say, and you're quite upfront in the film, that this is what the Taliban want you to see. This is what they're allowing you to film. Isn't that right? At the very start. Yeah. Did you have any qualms or worries about that?
No, the thing is, Taliban wanted propaganda from us, and we wanted to make a movie that is clear. So we made a movie that is about propaganda. And we say at the beginning of the movie that the Taliban wanted you to see this, but also what I am going to try to show you what I saw, which what the Taliban doesn't want to see you. And between what they wanted to show and what I wanted to show, here's the film. And you get to watch the whole film, understanding that there is someone in front of you trying to apply propaganda on you. And once you have this glass on, then you're watching with a clearer understanding of what's happening in front of you.
Yeah, and if there's any doubt about that, one fact jumps out. I think there are no women in this film at all, just a few women in passing that I mentioned there earlier on, but that in itself tells you an awful lot, doesn't it?
It does tell you that the absence of the woman is their presence in such film, and this is a representation of the world of the Taliban. And in the world of the Taliban, women are only allowed to go in the street and being free if they are beggars. Other than this, they are being bugged in every single aspect of their lives.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fitting that we finish at the end, so to speak, and your exit from Afghanistan, because you had to make a hasty, dramatic exit.
Yeah, unfortunately, the day of the parade, I was clocked in the morning by the Secret Service when they approached me and said, tomorrow you have to come to our office and bring all of your footage. We want to check your footage. And I knew that this is the end of my mission there, because I'm on a mission to follow the Taliban transitioning from a militia into a military regime with heavy weapons. And I finished shooting the last day of shooting, and I just went directly to the airport, and I left hoping that they haven't already announced something to stop me from leaving, which was the case. And I left in the same day.
My God, how fearful were you when you were going to the airport?
As fearful as you could expect.
Because when the Secret Service from the Taliban come to you and say, come to your office tomorrow, we want to see your material, that's a red flag, isn't it?
It was definitely a red flag, and it was clear that they have become a military regime. They are having a military parade, which they have had the same parade this year, and it was aired everywhere to the world. And this was the same parade that I filmed 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Of course, we also in that parade we exposed the people from different countries such as Iran and Pakistan and China and Russia. We exposed faces of the people who are working with the Taliban from these governments. And this year they have had the same parade, and also the Secret Service are coming, which means they have officially become a military regime. And for me, this is the end of my mission there.
My goodness, what an experience, and what a documentary as well. Ibrahim Nashat, thank you very much indeed for talking to us about your film Hollywood Gate, which is available, I can tell people, on Curzon Home Cinema right now. Ibrahim Nashat, thank you very much indeed.